Well, good morning. Welcome to a time of prayer and a word from God on this fourth Sunday of Easter. I want to start out this morning by reading to you from a very familiar psalm for most folks. It's Psalm 23, but I'm going to read it in a different translation this morning, and I would just ask that you would take the time to just pay deep attention to the way it's worded. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. You revive my soul and guide me along right paths for your name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You spread a table before me in the presence of those who trouble me. You have anointed my head with oil, and my cup is running over. Surely your goodness and your mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let us pray. Lord, we come to you this morning acknowledging that you are the one who is our shepherd. We acknowledge that you are the one who guides us and leads us on paths of righteousness. You are the God who leads us beside the still waters and helps us to find the green pastures where we can have nourishment and grow in incredible ways. Lord, you are an awesome God. You are a God who has done so much to guide us, to transform us, to help us grow in your ways. And as we consider who you are, we notice more fully who we are. We notice that you are a God that cares for us and loves us. But as we look within ourselves, we see ways that we have failed you, that we have walked far from the path, that we, like errant sheep, have gone astray at times, and we have walked our own paths and gotten lost. So we come to you right now, and we first off want to acknowledge that we have sinned, that we have walked the wrong paths, that we have gone the wrong way. And sometimes we have done that knowingly and purposefully. But sometimes, Lord, it's not until much later that we realize we've sinned. So we come to you this morning and we just open our lives to you and ask for your forgiveness. And we know that as we ask for your forgiveness, that you will be there to forgive us and to cleanse us. We can't thank you enough for what Jesus Christ has done for us. He willingly set aside all of his rights and privileges. He willingly set aside all that he had to come and walk here upon the earth. He came here to teach and to share and to help us that we might understand you, that we might know in a deeper and a richer way what you're calling us to and how to walk the spiritual path in the right way. And Lord, he taught, he shared, he did miracles, he healed. He sat quietly with folks who needed to know your peace and your comfort. Lord, we thank you especially for his willingness to give up his life, to die upon the cross for us, that we might have an atonement for our sins, that we might become at one with you, because once we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, you place the very righteousness of Christ upon us. And we now stand in your presence as daughters and sons. We now stand in your presence as saints, because you have clothed us with that very righteousness of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you also on this fourth Sunday of Easter that there was a first Easter, that there was a time that after the crucifixion, that you were risen from the grave, and that you, Jesus Christ, are alive again. And we thank you for that. We thank you also for those who have gone before us to prepare the way and the path for us. We especially thank you for those who have established this country, that we might be able to live in your ways as you're guiding and leading us. Lord, thank you for those who have prepared a place that we can be your children in the way that you call us. We also thank you for our sisters and our brothers in the faith, whether they're ones that we see or ones around the world. We thank you that we walk a common journey together towards the Holy Kingdom, where one day we'll get to see all of those folks, those who have gone on before us, who we've had treasured relationships with, and those that we will meet for the first time. Thank you. We also thank you that you continue to keep us safe during this time and watch over us in a way that we can't even imagine. But Lord, we do come to you with many concerns upon our hearts. We know that there are some who have lost loved ones. So we come in prayer for those families and ask that you would bring them comfort. We also come for those who are sick at this time, whether they're under treatment, whether they're waiting for answers, whether they're waiting for medications or therapies to take effect. Lord, we pray for them and ask for your healing hand to be upon them, to bring them peace and comfort and healing in a tremendous way. We also pray for those that are on the first line, on the front line with this virus. We pray for those doctors and nurses and technicians, and we want to ask, Lord, that you would give them wisdom and insight to know how to treat, how to cure, how to help folks. We pray for those especially that have this coronavirus and ask that you would heal them, as you have for many. We also ask that you would guide our leaders of our cities and towns, of our counties and states, and of our national government, that you would guide them to know what is the right next step to take, when to relax requirements at this time, when to stay the course, so that we truly can get through this in the best possible way. And then, Lord, we also come to you and ask that you would open doors, that during this time we could have ways to speak with folks who need to know about Jesus Christ, that we could share with them and that we could guide them and help them to come into that loving and living relationship that you want for them. Lord, what a blessing it is to be your people. And what a blessing it is to know that you empower us and live through us by your Holy Spirit, that we might know how to be your people. So please guide us in that, and open these words of Scripture today that we might see something new, that we might understand something more, and that we might see how we can step further in your ways. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Today I want to share with you from John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. So listen to these words. Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and will find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." In our world nowadays, there are many ways you can follow in this life. And in our day, people believe that each person has their own way of truth. They've decided that this is my way of truth, and this is the best way that I can walk. They've decided that someone else's truth may not be their truth. They've decided that truth is relative. I've come to find that that's not true at all. For you see, for many years, I designed my own path and decided what way I was going to walk. And I found out that that didn't work in the best possible way. It didn't work in the way that I thought it would. And I wasn't actually walking the best possible path for my life. You see, Jesus comes to the Pharisees and he seeks to help the religious leaders of his day to understand that that is not true. And he does so with an illustration that he believes they can understand. This illustration is not common to us, and we're not used to seeing that or understanding that in any way. This illustration about the shepherd and the sheep. But you see, in Jesus' day, people were right there, and they were watching what was going on and what was happening, and they could see these sheep and the shepherd. So let's talk for a few minutes about what this illustration is like and how this illustration can help us in our path forward. You see, the shepherd and the sheep have a very deep, intimate relationship. They know each other well, and the shepherd does everything he can to take care of the sheep. As I opened up this morning, I read from Psalm 23, a psalm that's very familiar to most folks. And it talks about the Lord being my shepherd. You see, David knew about being a shepherd. And David shared about that intimate relationship that you can have. David talks about when the Lord is my shepherd, then the Lord is my guide. Then the Lord leads me beside the still waters. And it's beside those still waters that sheep can get something to drink. Took me a number of years before I understood that sheep are afraid of moving water. And that's why it's important for their shepherd to lead them. It's also important that the shepherd leads them to good pastures. Pastures that can help them grow. Sheep have a tendency to keep their head down and just eat what's right in front of them and move forward. And without a shepherd to lead and guide them, they will walk off by themselves into danger. They will walk off and they will just be lost from the herd. So the shepherd leads them. The shepherd takes care of them and watches over them. And then at night, when the shepherd needs to get his rest, there are places that are called sheep pens. It's nothing more than most likely a fence of stones with an open gate. And the gatekeeper or one of the shepherds will sleep in that gateway to keep all the sheep inside. And there may be more than one herd of sheep at any particular gate, any particular sheep pen. But it's that one who watches over them at night by sleeping in the gateway while the other shepherds can fully get a good night's sleep. So in the morning, the shepherds come to the sheep pen and they call out their own sheep. The gatekeeper only allows the shepherds to do that. And you see, each one of the sheep that belong to any particular shepherd know the voice of that shepherd. And they will follow only that shepherd. He may call each by an individual name, or he may say something very familiar to all of them. And it's only those sheep that will then come out of the pen, and that shepherd stays in front of those sheep, leading and guiding them to still waters and good pastures. I wonder, has God done the same for us? Has God placed us in a sheep pen? Does God call us by a personal name, telling us that you are loved? God does desire to have this same kind of deep relationship with us that the shepherd has with the sheep. God does seek to lead us by still waters and green pastures. You see, when the shepherd walks up to that gate and the gatekeeper allows him to get his sheep out, only those that follow that shepherd leave. Now, Jesus says there are others who have come before him and even in his day that they don't come by the gate. Because if they did come by the gatekeeper wouldn't let them take sheep out. So others come and they seek a way in over the fence because the gatekeeper wouldn't let them in any other way. And they seek to steal sheep and take them away. And most often they're not hoping for the best thing for those sheep. They're looking for their own personal benefit. So this whole illustration really deals deeply around the sheep knowing their master so well that when someone else speaks, they don't follow. I've met many people in the spiritual life that talk about needing to study all the wrong ways so that they can make sure they don't fall into traps, that they don't fall into snares, and that they don't go the wrong direction on the spiritual path. But this illustration speaks something so much deeper. This illustration says there's only one voice that we need to hear. There's only one voice that we need to know well. There's only one voice that can help us to walk the spiritual path. And that path is Jesus Christ. You see, if I spend time getting to know how Jesus speaks to me, how Jesus calls to me, how Jesus comes to the very gate of the sheep pen and invites me into the spiritual life, then if someone else were to call, I would know it's not Jesus' voice. I would know that it's not Jesus' ways. So I've chosen not to study all the other ways that people could walk. I've chosen not to study all the wrong ways that I could go, or even the voices that would call me in those wrong directions. I've chosen to listen to Jesus Christ as my Savior and as my Lord. And when Jesus comes to that gate and calls my name to lead me out to still waters, to lead me out to good pastures, to keep me out of danger in that deep and wonderful relationship, then I know the right voice to follow. So I want to ask you, if Jesus claims to be the gate and the good shepherd, as opposed to the other leaders, what does this mean for us? What does it mean for you? If this is Jesus' claim to be the good shepherd, and Jesus says words as he does in the 10th verse where he says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. You see, Jesus' desire is that we only have the very fullness of life. And he tells us that others who come are seeking nothing more than their own benefit. They're seeking to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus is seeking to build up, to encourage, and to help us have an abundant life. Not just life, an abundant life. So if this is Jesus' claim that he is the good shepherd, that he is truly the gate, what does it mean for us? And what does it mean for you? For me, it meant there's only one way to have a deep relationship with God. And that's through the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. So over almost 40 years ago, I decided to make Jesus Christ my shepherd, my Savior, my Lord. Because he is the only gate. He is the only one that can lead me on the right spiritual paths. He's the only one that can bring me the living water that I need. He's the only one that can bring me the food that I need. He's the only one that can keep me out of danger. Jesus Christ is the Good Shepherd. Jesus Christ is the gate. The Pharisees, the religious leaders of his day, even though they knew this illustration about the Good Shepherd, had a very difficult time understanding it. That's why Jesus explains it to them two different ways. How about you? Do you know the voice of the Good Shepherd? well enough that you can follow his voice when he calls to you? If you don't know that voice, now's a day that you can listen for the first time. If you have heard that call of the Good Shepherd to come out of the sheep pen and walk in the spiritual life, now is the time for you to take another step. Now is a time for you to grow in that relationship. You see, the exciting thing is it says that the shepherd goes before them and the sheep follow. We don't have to strike out on our own. We don't have to go out and try to figure out what's the path to walk. The Good Shepherd is going to lead us in that path. So you need to know his voice. You need to know it clearly and well, so that when he calls to you, you can walk in his ways. So do you know the voice of the Good Shepherd well enough that when he calls you, you can walk in his ways? Let us pray. Lord, what a blessing it is that you have given us a Good Shepherd. A shepherd that if we will just listen to his voice and we will follow him, we will have an abundant life. What an incredible promise that is. And sometimes it's awful baffling to think of why will people not follow the Good Shepherd. So I pray first for those who have never followed Jesus Christ and ask that you would soften their hearts and nudge them to come and listen to the Good Shepherd and to follow the path that he walks. And I pray, Lord, for those who know the Good Shepherd of Jesus Christ but have yet at times struck out on their own, that they would stop and search for the voice of the Good Shepherd, and that they would hear what Jesus Christ is saying to them, so that they might have once again an incredible relationship with you. Lord, thank you so much for what you've done through Jesus Christ for us. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. I want to close with these words this morning that come from 2 Peter 3:18. May we continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the one who is the Good Shepherd, calling us into an abundant life. May God bring you great blessings this week. May you come to know the love of the Good Shepherd, who's willing to lay down his life for you. And may the Holy Spirit lead you in the right paths so that you may experience abundant life.